glories to the Assemble devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarane Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Creation, Chapter 14, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, Text Number 37. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Pada Shushrushana Mukya Karmana Satyadayo Dvi Ashta Sahasra Yoshita Nirjitya Sankhe Three Dashangs Tad Ashisho Haranti Vadra Yudha Valabhochita Yatpada Susrushana Mukya Karmana Satyadayo Dvasta Sahasra Yoshita Nirjitya Sanketri The songs to Tad Ashisho Haranti Vrajya Yuda Valabochita Yat Pada Susrushana Mukya Karmana Satyadayo Dvashta Sahasra Yoshita Nijitya Sanketri, the songs that Ashisho Haranti Vajya Yudha Valabhochita Yat Pada Susrushana Mukhya Karmana Satyadayo Dvyashta Sahasra Yoshita Nijitra Sanketri, the songs that Ashisho Haranti Vadra Yudha Valabhochita. Please chant.
All right.
Ladies. Anyone else? Yat, whose, pada, feet, susrushana, administration of comforts, mukya, the most important, karmana, by the acts of, satya adayaha, queens headed by Satyabhama, dva ashta, twice eight, sahasra, thousand, yoshita, the fair sex, nirjitya, by subduing, sankhye, in the battle, tridishan, of the denizens of heaven, tat ashisha, what is enjoyed by the demigods, Haranti, do take away. Vadra Ayuddha Vullabha, the wives of the personality who controls the thunderbolt. Uchita, deserving. Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services. The queens at Dwaraka, headed by Satyabhama, induced the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controller of thunderbolts. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Satyabhama, one of the principal queens of Lord Sri Krishna at Dwaraka. After killing Narakasura, Lord Krishna visited the palace of Narakasura, accompanied by Satyabhama. He went to Indraloka also with Satyabhama, and she was received by Shachi Devi, who introduced her to the mother of the demigods Aditi. Aditi was very much pleased with Satyabhama, and she blessed her with the benediction of permanent youth, as long as Lord Krishna remained on the earth. Aditi also took her with her to show her the special prerogatives of the demigods in the heavenly planets. When Satyabhama saw the Parijata flower, she desired to have it in her palace at Dwaraka. After that time, she came back at Dwaraka along with her husband and expressed her willingness to have the Parijata flower at her palace. Satyabhama's palace was especially bedecked with valuable jewels, and even in the hottest season of summer, the inside of the palace remained cool as if air-conditioned. She decorated the palace with various flags, heralding the news of her great husband's presence there. Once, along with her husband, she met Draupadi, and she was anxious to be instructed by Draupadi in the ways and means of pleasing her husband. Draupadi was expert in this affair because she kept five husbands, the Pandavas, and were all very much pleased with her. On receipt of Draupadi's instructions, she was very much pleased and offered her good wishes and returned to Dwaraka. She was the daughter of Satrajit. After the departure of Lord Krishna, when Arjuna visited Dwaraka, all the queens, including Satyabhama and Rukmini, lamented for the Lord with great feeling. At the last stage of her life, she left for the forest to undergo severe penance. Satyabhama instigated her husband to get the Parijata flower from the heavenly planets, and the Lord got it even by force from the demigods, as a common husband secures things to please his wife. As already explained, the Lord had very little to do with so many wives to carry out their orders like an ordinary man. But because the queens accepted the high quality of devotional service, namely administering the Lord all comforts, the Lord played the part of a faithful and complete husband. No earthly creature can expect to have things from the heavenly kingdom, especially the Parijata flowers, which are simply to be used by the demigods. But due to their becoming the Lord's faithful wives, all of them enjoyed the special prerogatives of the great wives of the denizens of heaven. In other words, since the Lord is the proprietor of everything within his creation, it is not very astonishing for the queens of Dwaraka to have any rare thing from any part of the universe. Trinadapi sunichena taradiva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari hare nama hare nama hare nama vikivalam kalo nasyeva 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 gatir anyata. So, through this Srimad Bhagavatam, we are learning page after page how God is a person. Of course, we learned in the chapter, second chapter, the Absolute Truth has three features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But the most complete understanding of the Absolute Truth is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means the personality of Godhead, God as a person. This concept of understanding that God is a person is fundamental for proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. It is remarked in the Krishna book that Rukmini had the Parijata flower, and Satyabhama, as Prabhupada writes, had an inferiority complex because she also wanted to feel special. If we recall in Krishna book, when there was the exchange, when Krishna joked with Rukmini, when he was putting himself down and telling Rukmini, "You should have married Shishupal. I am nothing. People don't even know whether I'm a Vaishya or a Kshatriya. People wonder about me. I don't own anything. Here I am with 16,000 wives, and I'm not even the king of Dwaraka. Ugrasena was the king." So Krishna went on and on telling Rukmini, "Oh, it's not too late. You can divorce me and get a real good husband." And of course, Rukmini simply fainted at the thought of separation from Krishna. Then Krishna rescued her, picked her up, and alleviated all of her anxiety, saying, "Oh, I was just joking." Krishna said to Rukmini, "This is how householders enjoy. Husband and wife, they joke. So I just wanted to see my other wives. When I joke with them, they get angry and they chastise me, and I like that. But you are so submissive and gentle and surrendered. I just once wanted to see you get angry, but you don't. So then at that time, Krishna blessed Rukmini. Of all my wives, you are the best. So Satyabhama, since Rukmini had the Parijata tree, naturally she's thinking, well, why don't I have a Parijata tree? I am also married to Krishna. So that is why when Krishna went to the heavenly planet, keep in mind, and this is pointed out in Krishna book, that it was on behalf of Indra and the demigods that Krishna went and defeated Bhaumasura. Or what does it say here? What name does Prabhupada? Narakasura, same thing. Narakasura. That this demon had stolen several things from the demigods, like Aditi's earrings, and there were other things that Narakasura had stolen. So Krishna went there. First he killed the five-headed Mura demon, and then he killed Narakasura, and then he got the 16,100 queens. So Indra, Krishna, along with Satyabhama on the back of Garuda, went to the heavenly planets and returned the things that Narakasura had stolen. And Indra was very happy. Thank Krishna, thank you. But upon leaving, Satyabhama reminded Krishna. So Krishna said, why you should have only one flower? I will give you a tree and you will have Parijata flower every day. So Krishna pulled the tree from the heavenly planets. Then Indra said, no, cannot touch. So here, Krishna had just done Indra a big favor, and he takes a Parijata tree. Indra and the demigods, they try to stop Krishna. There's a fight. Who do you think wins? One of Krishna's names is Ajita, unconquerable. Nobody can defeat Krishna. So this is pointed out by Shukadeva Goswami, how Indra is self-interested. Yes, he likes Krishna when Krishna does his bidding. But when there's time for some reciprocation, no. But Krishna did this, why? To keep the peace. Prabhupada gave us a clue. Those of you who are interested in a happy grihastha ashram, Krishna, Prabhupada gave you the clue within today's purport, how you have to keep. I have a lecture I sometimes give. Happy wife means happy life. Because if not, grihastha ashram is hell. So as it says here, the Lord played the part of a faithful and complete husband. Now, at the end of the purport, in other words, since the Lord is the proprietor of everything within his creation. So this immediately reminds us of Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 verse 29, which Prabhupada calls the peace formula. Because everybody would like to have peace. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is explained, how can there be any happiness without peace? So peace is the first item. So this shloka, Bokaram Yagita Pasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Suridam Sarvabhutanam, Gyatva Makshantim. When you do an Indian program, all you have to do is say three words. Shanti, shanti, shanti. Immediately you have the audience. Oh, very nice. Everybody wants shanti. And I've said the story so many times, but it's a good one. When I was in Panama many, many years ago, I was doing a program in the penthouse of this 70-story building owned by a very rich Sindhi businessman. And he had some relatives over from Hong Kong, Indians. Very swank. Prasadam was served in those stainless steel trays. They had servers. So after my little talk in Kirtan, the lady from Hong Kong, the rich lady, "Swamiji, can you give me peace?" As if I had a magic wand. "Yes, I give you peace." So I said to her, "So, do you eat meat?" "Oh, I love meat." I can't give you peace. "All right, let me. Do you drink alcohol?" "Yes, I love drinking." Can't give you peace. I said, "Do you gamble?" She goes, "We love to play cards." I said, "Three strikes, you're out. No peace for you. Because if you want peace, you have to give up sinful life. There's no possibility of peace as long as one is committing sinful life." So that's why in Prabhupada's movement, we do not accept cheap disciple. Cheap disciple means I come, give me name, give me, and I'm good to go. No, you have to be willing to break the, in the terms of Mrugari the hunter, break the bow. When Narada initiated Mrugari, he said, "You want to be my disciple? First break your bow," meaning he can no longer be a hunter. So the Mrugari said, "If I break my bow, how am I going to eat?" Narada said, "I will take care of you. I will provide for you. You simply stay here, chant Hare Krishna, become calm and peaceful, break your bow, no more hunting." And of course, as it turns out, when Narada came back later to check on his disciple, what did Mrugari say? "Guru Dev, you're sending too much prasadam. Don't send so much." So, if one wants peace, then one has to give up sinful life. These four sinful activities, which every initiated disciple vows. Then you can have peace. And once you have peace, then you can be happy. So this peace formula. First thing, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasang. Krishna is the enjoyer. We are not the enjoyer. We see in Bhagavad Gita, we are defined as prakriti, energy. Spirit soul is energy of Krishna. There are two things, purusha and prakriti. The male enjoyer, purusha, and the female, prakriti, enjoyed. So that is the living entity's position. Lord Chaitanya says it in this way. Jivera Swarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. We are not the enjoyer. We are the dasa. Everybody in who gets initiated has that name. Dasa. Servant. That's what we are. It is by service that we enjoy. Krishna enjoys directly. We do not enjoy directly. We enjoy indirectly by serving Krishna. By serving Krishna, there's an exchange of opulences. And so, and actually, in the words of Krishna Das Kaviraj, when he's explaining the truth about Advaita Acharya, we see this revolutionary concept that this enjoyment by service, not directly enjoying, but the enjoyment through service is higher enjoyment than being God himself. That's why Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates become the servant. Because even God wants to enjoy that ecstasy of what it means to be the servant. So, we are not the enjoyer, we're the eternal servant of Krishna. Second thing, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Nothing belongs to me. Everything belongs to Krishna. And number three, understanding that my dearmost friend is Krishna in the heart. He is my dearmost friend. Nobody else. Krishna is my dearmost friend. And my dearmost friend externally manifests himself as the spiritual master. So my spiritual master, in a sense, is my dearmost friend. Why? Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave. He has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Somebody who gives you the eyes with which to see the truth and gives you the process by which you can return home back to Godhead. You don't have a better friend. So Lord Chaitanya says, Brahmanda Brahmate Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadevai Bhakti Lata Beej. It is the combined mercy of Krishna and Guru. And Prabhupada has taught us the balance. You worship the spiritual master. Through the worship of the spiritual master, you go to Krishna. I don't know what they do nowadays, but the way I was taught in RT, first you offered to Prabhupada. Am I right? That's the way I was taught back in 1973. First you offered to Prabhupada. Because that is how we were trained. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katopi. We do not really know how to please Krishna, but we do know how to please our spiritual master. We please our spiritual master by pushing on the Sankirtan movement. That is how we please our spiritual master. First order of the spiritual master, chant 16 rounds. First order. It is written in the book. Sometimes there's this discussion on the final order. I'm still on the first order. The first order, chant 16 rounds. Then, strictly follow four regulative principles, and then push on this Sankirtan movement. I have a few minutes, with your permission. Prabhupada, in the purport, mentioned an incident that is described in the Mahabharata. So I'd just like to read this short excerpt. This is found in our Bhaktivedanta Veda base folio, so I take it as bona fide. So it's from the chapter entitled Krishna Visits the Pandavas. Within days of their arrival at Vishakapya, the monsoons arrived. The Pandavas set up their camp on high ground and watched as the rains fell and flooded the earth. They could no longer see the suns. Bolts of lightning lit the forest, while streams of frothing water rushed across the earth, hissing like flights of arrows. All the forest creatures became delighted and frolicked in the rain-soaked woods. Gradually the season turned to autumn. The clouds dispersed and the sky was lustrous. The days were warm and the nights cool. The Pandavas surveyed the refreshed forest scenery and decided that it was an auspicious time, the sacred month of Kartik, to return to Kamyaka. A few days after the Pandavas' arrival, Krishna and Satyabhama came to visit. Krishna knew the Pandavas had returned to Kamyaka by Krishna's inconceivable powers. The Pandavas were overjoyed to see their well-wishing friend. With tears in their eyes, the Pandavas rose up to greet Krishna. Krishna got down from his chariot and bowed at Yudhishthira and Bhima's feet, as well as the feet of Dyomya and the Brahmanas. Krishna embraced Arjuna and accepted the twins' obeisances. Satyabhama embraced Draupadi. And when Satyabhama and Krishna were comfortably seated among the Pandavas, they all began to converse. Then they saw Markandeya Rishi approaching, that immortal sage who had appeared like a youth of no more than 16 years, was cheerful, dressed only in a loincloth and holding a water pot. The Pandavas, Krishna, and all the Brahmanas stood to offer respect, and then offered Markandeya a seat of honor. After Markandeya had been worshipped with Argya and presented with sweet water and forest fruits, Krishna said, "We all wish to hear your most excellent words. Kindly narrate to us the ancient histories of virtuous kings and rishis, replete with moral and spiritual instruction." At that moment, Narada also arrived and was received. He too wished to hear Markandeya speak in Krishna's presence. With those two personalities sitting among the Pandavas and numerous Brahmanas, it seemed as if the sun and moon were seated together in the presence of the planets. Everyone waited for Markandeya to speak. They all knew that the sage had lived since the beginning of the material creation and was therefore acquainted with countless histories of great sages and kings. The Supreme Lord Narayan had personally instructed Markandeya, and thus Markandeya possessed profound spiritual understanding. Once, when Markandeya was gone, Krishna spent a little more time talking with the Pandavas. Satyabhama then took the opportunity to speak with Draupadi and asked how she was able to serve and satisfy five husbands. Krishna's wife, Satyabhama, wanted to learn from the Panchala princess, who was famed for her chastity and womanly skills, so that she might prove her own service. She might improve her own service to Krishna. Draupadi told Satyabhama in detail about the many ways she served her husbands. Draupadi said, "Abandoning vanity and subduing desire and wrath, I serve my husbands with attention, along with their other wives. I do not feel my position of servitude to be a degraded one, and I restrain jealousy by remaining devoted. I neither sleep nor eat before my husbands, or even before our servants and followers. At no time do I allow my mind to dwell upon another man or any celestial. My heart never sways from my husbands. The minute I see them, I rise up and greet them, offering them a seat and water. I will always keep our living quarters clean and fragrant, and all the household items and food well ordered." Satyabhama herself, a great favorite of Krishna's, listened attentively. Draupadi described how she would never enjoy any things her husbands did not enjoy, nor would she perform any act disagreeable to them. When they went away, she renounced her ornaments and cosmetics and practiced asceticism. She tried always to assist her husbands as they performed sacrifices and other religious practices. Draupadi continued, "I am the first to rise from bed and the last to take rest. I am ever attentive to my duty and I never give way to sloth or laziness. In my opinion, service to the husband is the eternal virtue of women. The husband is the wife's God and her sole refuge. By serving him, she pleases even the Supreme Lord himself and thereby attains to the highest destination. When Draupadi finished, Satyabhama embraced her. Satyabhama heard Krishna calling and so took leave, promising to come to Intraprastha after the Pandavas had regained their kingdom. Krishna bid farewell to the Pandavas and was ready to depart. Krishna and Satyabhama mounted the chariot, which was yoked with Shaivya and Sugriva. And seeing Draupadi standing before him so meekly, Krishna said, "O Draupadi, do not be in anxiety. Before long, you will be the wife of kings, after your husbands have crushed their enemies and won back the earth. O black-eyed beauty, lady such as yourself, possessed of all auspicious marks, can never suffer for long. The Kauravas will soon reap the results of their sins against you. And when they have been destroyed, you will see their wives despairing, even as you despaired upon leaving Hastinapur." Krishna once more assured Draupadi that her five sons were flourishing and that she would soon see them grown up powerful heroes. Then, saluting the Pandavas and bowing to the Brahmanas, Krishna urged on his horses and left the forest. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any discussion? We're all good? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.